Captain.
Do this for my people off the boat. They try to change the books and set the scope. Try to keep us down, but they get close. You coming through and kicking down the dope. We here now, can't close. The true self and expose. We the ones who's chosen. Descended from the chemical notion. Negativity will dispose it. Don't act like we never told you. Whole tap been knowing, yet been showing that we still glowing. The media try to bash it. We said kings and queens, you convinced them with slavery and the master. Better take back what we crafted, what we mastered, what they after. Take back the upper hand, gain leverage back and disregard the masses.
My team is well connected, my team is well respected. Undisputed, no question, not a victim nor oppressor. Moving in the right direction, the conscious mind resurrection. My team is well connected, whole tech living guessing. My team is well connected, my team is well respected. Undisputed, no question, not a victim nor oppressor. Moving in the right direction, the conscious mind resurrection. My team is well connected, whole tech living guessing.
Hotep, what's up, world? Peace, love, and blessings. It's your host, T-Cat, and this is Well Connected. So, second episode, really like 1.5, basically like an extension of the pilot. Last episode, definitely more political, talked on, you know, Donald Trump, the election, kind of the pulse of our nation. This week's episode is going to be a little more laid back. Going to touch on more like pop culture, entertainment, sports, music, you know what I'm saying, show my versatility. At the same time, it is Black History Month, so definitely going to touch on some black history and some black consciousness. So stay tuned, stay hip, and stay connected.
So 2017 has been a crazy year so far, very eventful from, you know, Donald Trump being sworn in as president and all the news and antics and propaganda that comes with that, to, you know, the Super Bowl we had with, you know, New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. Crazy game, epic comeback. Tom Brady, the GOAT, gets it done. Atlanta Falcons supposed to put on for the culture. Came up short. A lot of people thought it would be like retribution for the election. However, it was the exact same result. I'll touch on that later. Shout out to Beyonce, pregnant with twins. Congratulations to her and Jay-Z. Always nice to see the black family staying together and prospering. Music-wise, Migos is hot right now. Everyone's a Migos fan. Good to see their name recognition. You see, you know, Jim Jones, you know, signed with Roc Nation. Squashing his beef with Jay-Z. Soulja Boy out here wilding, you know what I mean, getting in fights, getting his chain snatched, always some new beef, new drama. you know, to you see how Nicki Minaj and Meek Mills broke up, obviously celebrity breakup, always a lot of tension that comes with that. Sporting news, you see that, you know, DeMarcus Cousins got traded from the Kings to the Pelicans. Big pickup, huge pickup for the Pelicans. Boogie and AD in the front court, it's going to be crazy. Obviously, you know, Golden State's turned up right now. KD has a big emotional return back to OKC. All the little drama with him or Westbrook. Played an all-star game. A little awkward, but hey, they got through it. You know, in the East, Cavs are, you know, obviously number one. But, you know, Kevin Love's out for about 6 weeks with knee injury. We'll see what happens there. Probably need to make a trade for another playmaker. Hopefully JR can come back and be healthy. You know, Toronto's coming up. Got Serge Ibaka. Boston's always active. You know, Wizards playing hot right now. So we'll see what happens. Probably going to be a Golden State Cavs an inevitable rematch. Also sporting news, Terrell Owens, T.O., got robbed of being in the Hall of Fame. I don't care, man. Look, T.O. is one of the greatest receivers ever, one of the greatest football players ever. You know, top 10 in all major statistical categories for receiver. It's ridiculous he's not in the Hall of Fame. Look, I don't care if he was a prima donna or a cancer to the locker room, whatever you want to say, all that propaganda. Look, the man never got in trouble off the field, right? Never had any, got arrested, never any drug problems, never was any domestic abuse situations, nothing, right? He played the game right. Should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no reason why Morton Anderson, a kicker, is in the Hall of Fame or TL. No reason. But hey, keep up football real quick. Shout out to Michael Vick, officially retired from the NFL. Look, growing up, Michael Vick was like an icon to me, all right? Him, AI, braids, headbands, all that. He made some mistakes in his life, clearly. However, never judge a man off of one mistake or one flaw. Look at his whole character of work, right? So I think he's done a lot of retribution in his life. Salute to Michael Vick. Without further ado, we get into the main topic to start with, is the Super Bowl.
So, this Super Bowl was definitely one for the ages. If you missed it, I don't know where you were. However, yeah, so Super Bowl, obviously one of the crazy comebacks. The Atlanta Falcons had a 28-3 lead, 8.5 minutes left in the third quarter, ended up losing this game. They allowed the Patriots to score 31 unanswered points. Tom Brady, the GOAT, gets it done. Not going to stunt, did not think the Patriots would come back. All right, I thought Atlanta had that game. Going into the game, I thought the Patriots would win, but however, as the game was unwinding, it looked like, yeah, this is definitely Atlanta. Second half, I don't know what happened. Kyle Shanahan, he stopped running the rock. He stopped giving to Devontae Freeman, started panicking, started trying to throw the ball too much. He made mistakes, let Patriots get back in the game. We can talk all day about, you know, what they could have done, what they shouldn't have done, but in the day, the GOAT got it done. So salute to Tom Brady. And I'm not even a Tom Brady fan. I really don't like Tom Brady. I'm personally a Giants fan who is the only team to ever beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Just saying. But hey, you got to recognize real, right? At some point, you got to salute your cap. Now, with this whole Super Bowl, though, of course, people made it much more than just a game of football, right? We made it a us versus them mentality, right? It was the resistance, the culture versus, you know, Donald Trump and make America great again, right? That was the whole climate in which we made the Super Bowl. We always make it some type of political aspect to it. And I found it very interesting with the Super Bowl, right? And especially how we treated it, you know, for the weeks, you know, building up into it. Especially with Tom Brady, right? Now, one of the big reasons why it was such a more of a us versus them thing was because, like, New England Patriots, their whole organization, especially Tom Brady and Bob Kraft, are, you know, publicly known to be friends of Donald Trump. And especially in today's climate, with Donald Trump being such a, you know, controversial figure and everything, that any association with him is going to have some type of backlash or just some type of media uproar, right? Now, I touched on this last episode, talking about how society, at times, we have such a hypocritical and selective anger. Well, I think this applies very well to the Super Bowl week, right? Historically, right, we would always tell athletes to stick to sports and don't have any political view and stuff like that, right? There's always a big backlash whenever an athlete spoke on anything that's not sports. We say, oh, stay in your place, right? However, I found it interesting that, you know, once it found out that, you know, Tom Brady had a Make America Great hat again, that, you know, everybody's, oh, well, you're a Trump supporter and stuff like that, right? You have to answer for everything that he's doing. And it's like, well, yo, for starters, like, Tom Brady was friends with the man for 15-plus years. So, like, you know, it's not like he just suddenly became a Trump supporter, a Trump friend, right? And at the same time, it's like, we're pressing Tom Brady to answer all these questions about Donald Trump, everything he's doing. And it's like, yo, just from a grand scheme of things, right, I'm sure we all have friends or associates, right, that we don't agree with everything they say or everything they think, right? I have family members and stuff like that who I disagree fundamentally on a lot of different things, right? But I love them to death. They're still my family members, still my associates. So it's like, just because basically like Tom Brady or anyone else who's a Trump supporter, right, or associates with Trump, just because they had association or support for him doesn't mean they agree with every single thing he says or all the rhetoric that he talks about and stuff like that. Right, like it's kind of like hypocritical, just oh, because we don't like Donald Trump, so we get to press him on that. But it's like, no, that's not really fair. All right, so again, it's just interesting. I see how that happened with the Super Bowl, and also just with the whole us versus them thing. So we made the Super Bowl to be kind of like some type of retribution for the election, but it ended up being the exact same thing. And at times, I feel like in a black community and stuff, and we set ourselves up for failure at times. It's like we did the same exact thing last year when Cam Newton was in the Super Bowl. It was Cam Newton versus Peyton Manning, right? It was Cam Newton was putting on for the culture. He, you know, he was dabbing the whole time, dancing, hitting his folks, all this stuff, you know, and he did represent a lot of black America. But we made it such a us versus them thing, and of course, we lost, and it was a big emotional letdown. Everyone's, you know, just, you know, mad and angry. We did the same thing with this election. It's like, we got to stop making everything an us versus them thing. We got to stop this whole resistance for them. Like, stop, yo. This is one America. I understand, yes, there are definitely some big fundamental differences in our country right now, but we got to stop making everything about politics. Like, you set yourself up for that. Like, after the Super Bowl, when the Patriots came back, some people, like my family members and people on Twitter and friends, oh, this is just like election again. People were pissed off, angry, and sad. I'm like, yo, this is a game. Like, y'all made it that. Like, that was the left making it a us versus them, of resistance versus make America great. Like, that was y'all. That was the left. You didn't see the right wing doing that. They didn't make it an us versus them thing. That was the left. So y'all made it that thing, and then y'all lost. I mean, I'm just saying, like, we got to stop that. We try to bet against Tom Brady, the GOAT. Come on, bro. I'm not even a Patriots fan. I'm a Giants fan, but you can't put your money against Tom Brady, the GOAT. Don't put the culture on against Tom Brady. Black people, we not learn historically, betting against the white man is not our greatest thing to do. I'm just saying, like, as society, yo, Stop making everything political. Isn't it funny how I'm talking about a football game, but somehow Donald Trump, I still bring him up somehow? Can't escape him. We give so much energy to Donald Trump. We make him so relevant. We will find any association and make it, oh, it's a Donald Trump thing. Like, stop. Y'all set yourself up for failure with that. You make him more popular. You make him more relevant. Make him in the public eye with everything you do. And ain't complaining, oh, it's Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. Well, just stop talking about him. Like I said before in my last podcast, listen, if it wasn't for social media and the news, I wouldn't even know Donald Trump was president. You know why? Because nothing in my life has changed since he became president. Nothing. All I'm saying is, keep a more open mind, stop making everything us versus them mentality, and never bet against the GOAT, Tom Brady. So, well, now I'd like to transition into my next segment of tonight. I'd like to call my unpopular opinion. And in today's 2017 America, there is a growing feeling that black people in America are oppressed. And my unpopular view is that as a 24-year-old black man in 2017 America, I am not oppressed or a victim. That's right, goddammit, I said it. I am not oppressed. I am not a victim. I know you're probably falling at your seats right now, probably ready to fight me. Nah, nigga, you oppressed. Nah, fuck that. I'm not oppressed. All right, I know that cognitive dissonance might be kicking in, but please let me elaborate. Let me explain. So I want to start by saying, does this country have a history of oppression towards black people? Absolutely, undoubtedly. But in 2017, are we still oppressed? No. Okay. For me, when I hear oppression, I think of some type of, it's a mindset nowadays, right? I think of oppression, I think of some type of like legal or physical barrier in place that is literally holding me back from achieving anything, right? Like, when I hear people say oppression, it's like you're almost conceding that there is some type of superior power or institution, right, that is in control, and that power institution is holding you back from being a normal citizen or being a normal person, right? It's like you're lesser, right? By saying you're oppressed, you're saying there's someone superior, which means that you are inferior to them in that system. And it's like, yo, well, that doesn't describe America. Like, no, I'm not oppressed. Like, at times, yes, in 2017, as a black man, have I ever been discriminated against at times? Yeah, sure, probably, of course. Have I been profiled? Yeah, duh. Like, have I been stereotyped about me? Yeah. But have I been oppressed? Nah. And I'm not. I'm not oppressed. Like, for me, oppression is like, it's something that's, it's real. Like I said, it's something that's really literally holding you back. For example, right, two of my close friends are Palestinian American, okay? So they go back home to visit all the time. So, like, a couple months ago, my boy went back home to Palestine. Now, he has Israeli and Palestinian citizenship there, right? And just growing up, I learned so much about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and how the treatment of Palestinians on the Gaza Strip and how that's like real oppression there, like what they're really going through. And it's like, he was telling me how, you know, there's points on the highway he's driving to Israel, right? Even though he has an Israeli citizenship and driver's license, he's driving in which they stop his car, right? Like a checkpoint, pretty much. And they, like, say, oh, well, you're Palestinian. You can't drive on this road. You have to get off. Even though you have Israeli, you know, citizenship and a license, you're Palestinian, you can't be on this road because you're Palestinian. Like, there's no way in America in which, like, in 2017, in which I'm driving on a road in which, like, a cop or a white man is gonna pull me over and say, oh, because you're black, you cannot drive on this road. That's not happening here. Like, what? No, I can go anywhere. Like, what? No, it's not oppression. Like, or in Saudi Arabia, in which, you know, like, it's illegal for women to even drive a car. Or ability to speak in public. Doesn't that happen here in America? Like, that's oppression over there. I feel like blacks at times, we're privileged to a degree in America, right? We are. Like, you'll see a black person will be tweeting on the iPhone in the comfort of their home while eating a warm plate of food about how oppressed they are. Nigga, you ain't oppressed. We're not. Like, we have a lot of privileges we take advantage of and we take for granted. Now, granted, black people in America, our situation compared to the rest of America, yes, it is lesser for sure. But we're not oppressed. Like, does white supremacy and racism exist? Undoubtedly. At the same time, that has never held me back from achieving any of my goals. Like, yes, there are barriers in our place, but we can go beyond those barriers. Like, it's not like, you know what I mean, where 60 years ago, right, we had, you know, Jim Crow and the civil rights movements, and, you know, and whites and blacks couldn't even go to the same, you know, restaurants or bathrooms or water fountains, or blacks couldn't even go to the same colleges as whites. Yeah, there was, like, you know what I mean, like, a system in place that was, like, really holding us back, oppressing us. But it's not there anymore. That's not happening. Like, yeah, is there a lot of discrepancies in the legal system in our country? Yeah, of course. But you have to get into the legal system first. You have to make a mistake to get in there first. But without doing that, like, you're not going to be held back by any system like that. That's all I'm saying. It's like, yo, like, we make too many excuses and stuff at times. I think part of it's, like, because black people, there's a lack of accountability and a lack of self-sufficiency within the black community. It's like we're so dependent upon a system which was never made for us in the first place. It's like we have to understand, like, yeah, yes, like, racism is never going to go anywhere. Like, it's not. And I'm not saying we have to come, like, be content with that whatsoever by any means, but I'm saying is that, like, we have to stop, like, using that as an excuse for everything. We have to stop being so, the reason why we think we're oppressed is because, like, black people are so dependent, especially upon the government, right? And so, like, especially upon white people. And so, like, when the system, the man, right, is holding you back because you're depending on it, and when you don't have, and you can't progress because you're depending on that system, you say, oh, well, I'm oppressed because the system's holding me back. No, because the problem is, you're dependent on a flawed system. Matter of fact, the system's not flawed. The system was never designed for us in the first place. It's working perfectly. That's one of the biggest things. And so when you're self-sufficient, we're supporting our own, have our own economics, worrying about ourselves, you're not going to be oppressed anymore. I'm just saying, you don't really see rich black people talking about they're oppressed. Because they're not dependent on the system. It's an economic aspect more than anything else. Again, like I said, does white supremacy and systematic racism exist? Sure, of course. I'm not trying to downplay that. But I'm saying is that that's not holding you back from anything, though. That's not holding me back personally. I graduated high school. I graduated college. I got a job just like any other white person. I wasn't held back from nothing. No, I'm blessed, sure. Absolutely, I'm blessed. But these other people who have a lesser situation than me have been just as successful, too. I'm saying you're not oppressed. We got to have a better mindset. That's why, like, groups like Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, all they did was give a lot of grievances and a lot of issues, but not any actual real solutions. It's kept black people in this docile, victim, oppressed mindset, an enslaved mindset. You're not oppressed. Remember, yes, you have a history in America that's just 400 years of slavery and post-slavery, what we're doing, have going on now, but, like, that's just a small micro bit of just the history of black history in this world. If you really had true knowledge of self and knew everything that our people are responsible for and creating, you understand that you are not oppressed. It's time to take it back, man. Stop being scared. Stop being a victim. Be more self-sufficient. Be more dependent. Help each other out. You're not oppressed. So, this is the perfect segue into my next segment, in which I want to talk about the Hotep movement. Dun, dun, dun. Now, I understand when people hear the term Hotep, there are many misconceptions, I think, that come along with the term and who Hoteps are and, oh, you're actually Hotep, this, that, and the third. And so, I think we need to step back, relax, and for me, as someone who actually self-identifies as a Hotep, let me explain, like, what Hotep is and break down the various misconceptions that have come with this term. All right, for starters, the term Hotep means peace, okay? It can be derived from ancient Kemet, as Egypt, right? Ancient Egypt and Africa. Now, for me, with the Hotep movement, Hotep to me is about being self-sufficient, having self-accountability, supporting black businesses, black economics, focusing on healthy living, talking about the black nuclear family, really just being like a free thinker, right? Not being afraid to think against the groupthink. All right, not being afraid to go outside the box of having knowledge of self. Being Hotep, we understand, yes, there are barriers that were in our place, but we can go beyond those barriers. We're not a victim. We're not oppressed. That's the biggest thing about being Hotep. We're not a victim. We're not oppressed. We don't buy that narrative, right? We're not into that semantics, that propaganda. We was kings. We was queens. Like, for real, we understand we have knowledge of self. We understand we have a vast history. And so it's very unfortunate that I see that this term has been such misappropriated and used in so many different negative ways, and it's like, no, that's it's not true. So I guess I'm gonna start by confronting all the negative misconceptions with Hotep, right? For one, you'll see, you go online, you can type Hotep in on Google. You may see an article by The Root or an article by like the Huffington Post or something like that talking about Hoteps. And for a lot of people's standpoint, they make Hotep as all Hoteps are misogynistic. Hoteps hate black women. Hoteps are homophobic, or Hoteps don't associate with anything that's not supporting the black man. And I was like, no, that's it's not true. I find it interesting. Why don't you people ever like reach out to the actual Hoteps before you write these actual articles? But anyways, I digress. Like, y'all reach out to any like a white supremacist who wrote a racist article, but you really won't reach out to Hotep to ask about Hotep, what you actually think this is. It's cool though. So people have used this term Hotep as a derogatory, right? Like, women say, oh, well, no, don't stay. He's a Hotep. Oh, he's Ashy Hotep. Right? That's what we're using it now as a negative. And it's like, no. I think we need to understand as well, like, I think there's a big confusion in the conscious community. Just because someone's black and conscious and may talk about, like, black economics and black history, that doesn't necessarily make them Hotep. Right? I think there's a difference between, like, self-identifying Hotep and what you y'all just call anybody Hotep. Y'all call anybody that's, like, not pro-movement, right? Anybody that's not a pro-feminist or anybody that's not pro-LGBT community, you call them a Hotep. Or we take people, like I said, in the conscious community who may have some extreme views and call them Hotep. Like, for example, right, Dr. Umar Johnson, right, who mixed feelings about, but hey, Dr. Umar, I think does a lot of good. Now, Dr. Umar, right, is a very, you know, Afrocentric person, very well-educated, right, as a child psychologist. However, Dr. Umar has a very strong stances against the LGBT community and being homosexual, right? And because he has a very very strong stance, very extreme stance against it, right? People say, oh, well, you see, he's conscious, right? He's trying to uplift the black people, and he hates the gays. That's a Hotep. I'm like, no, Dr. Umar not a Hotep. Like, you see, there's other people in the conscious community. Example, like, some people who may be like Hebrew Israelites, for example, all respect to these people too, they have more extreme views as well. But because they're conscious, right, they're talking about healthy living, talking about black economics, so, oh no, they're Hotep, right? It's like, no, they're not Hotep. So again, what we started doing was taking all these individual people, right, who have similar qualities, right, and we just started calling them Hotep. We start using it as a derogatory, saying this, then Hotep, and the third. All right, so for me, someone who self-identifies with the actual Hotep movement, all right, the first thing I want to touch on is, like, the notion that somehow Hoteps hate black women. Like, I have no idea where that came from. And it's kind of weird. Like, what? How can we hate black women? Black women are queen. Y'all God. Y'all the backbone of our society. We go nowhere without the black woman. How could we hate you? Again, it's kind of hypocritical because one of the biggest things we push is the black nuclear family of mother, father, and child. How can we hate black women yet incorporate y'all in one of our biggest ideologies? Doesn't make sense. So that notion is strange. I think where it came from is maybe like some type of conflicting views with the black feminists, because some black feminists, okay, have been more radicalized in terms of exclusion of the black male. And so again, that kind of goes against the whole black nuclear family. So I think that's where the headbutting has come in. So but hate towards black women, that's ridiculous. No, we're trying to push the black nuclear family. So again, the notion that like we hate black women and we only support stuff that benefits the black men. No, we're trying to benefit the black community as a whole. That's everybody. So I don't know where that came from. The also notion that Hoteps are homophobic and hate gays. Like, no, that's not true whatsoever either. Like, I can personally attest to, like, the people I know who actually identify as Hotep, like, they're not homophobic. Like, I have no problems with people being gay. I think people have every legal right and opportunity just as anyone else in this country, right? And I think people who are discriminated because they're gay in a workplace or any type of societal aspect, that's wrong. You should condemn for that. At the same time, right, it goes back to what I was in my last podcast. Again, you can be pro something without being anti something. Or you can just be neutral. You don't have to be pro or anti something either. So with the LGBT community, it's just like, because the Hotep, we're trying to push for this nuclear family of mother, father, and child, right, keeping the black family together. It's just that we understand completely there are other type of families out there, right? But they're just necessary as conducive to what we're pushing. So because of that, we're not necessarily like pro-LGBT. We're not anti. We're having no problem with them. We're just not necessarily out here like on the front line supporting them, because it doesn't necessarily contrast with our movements. That's all. Like, I don't know why people take it as, again, it's just, and it's a society as a whole. Because anybody who doesn't support it, you're saying, oh, you're anti, you're homophobic. No, that's not true. We use that word too loosely. No one is, we don't have any fear, like, with LGBT community. In fact, there's some people in LGBT community who are hoteps. That's the ironic part about it. You have no problems with gays. That's fine. Live your life. Do you. Like, okay, like, you have your, like, do you. Like, I don't understand why you have to be pro or anti something. No, we just be neutral. Like, it is possible to be neutral. It is possible. So I don't know where that came from. Another misconception people use is like, oh, hoteps is this nuclear family you're pushing, this mother, father, and child. That's a European concept. That's white supremacy you're pushing. What? No. Again, one of the first, like, holy trinities, no, the first, not the only one of the first, the first holy trinity in history of the world is mother, father, and child, which can be traced back to ancient Egypt, ancient Kemet, right? And so this is an African concept, right? This is also existing in various other African civilizations. This had existed thousands of years before Europeans even existed on this planet. So, like, somehow the notion that this mother, father, and child nuclear family we're pushing is a European concept? No, this is an African concept. The Europeans took it from us. Surprise, surprise, Europeans took some African history. Oh. I'll say it is like, yeah, that's ridiculous. No, do your research. Do your Googles. When you say you make statements like that, nah, that's absolutely false. No, this is an African concept. It's always been an African concept. Do your Googles. And even to that, like, it behooves me at times that people are so against the concept of mother, father, and child. It's kind of sad, because the black community, like, so many of our problems in the black community can root it back to the family at home. For me personally, right, I was blessed to be raised by both my mother and my father. Have both my parents in my life. Be raised by my father. And I understand tremendously the impact that can have. Growing up, so many of my friends, mostly all my friends, they didn't have their father in their life or had a bad relationship with their father or didn't have any type of a connection to a positive male role model at all. And so, like, I understand, like, yo, me growing up, my dad taught me how to be a man, came to all my basketball games, stuff like that, always supported me. It's just good to come home and see a positive working black man. You're not going to see the image that much on TV or any other function. And we're trying to stay together because we understand that, look, it takes two to make a child. It takes a male and a female to make a child. Right? It's masculine and feminine energy. It's yin and yang. Hot and cold. Light and dark. This is universal law. A child should have both the energy from a masculine and feminine energy. A mother is supposed to nurture, a father protect. I'm not saying we have to stay in those societal roles, right? But I'm saying at some point there is a spiritual level in which we are ignoring. And with so much deterrence going on in the black community, another reason is like we're trying to keep the black man in the family. There's so many discrepancies going on against black men, especially in the legal system, and so many other barriers against us. We're just trying to keep us in here, that's all. And y'all want to push us away? I don't get it. When you had like the Black Lives Matters on their own website talking about, oh, we want to dismantle the nuclear family. They have no inclusion of the black male whatsoever. Damn, we're not getting any societal progress if we're not staying together. Like I said, so many problems in the black community can all root it back at home to the family. So many people join gangs and stuff like that because they seek some type of familiar family aspect. Like, this happens. So it's like, again, the notion that, hey, this is a European concept. No, we're just trying to see the black family stay together, man. That's all. That's the only way we will actually start making real social progress as a black community, by starting at home at the family. Just having some type of positive male influence. We talk all day about, toxic masculinity and stuff like that. Well, unfortunately, most black people are raised by single-parent households, right? Most of you are as a mother or a grandmother. So, again, I'm not trying to play victim and put a blame here, but when you talk about toxic masculinity and stuff, well, most males are not raised by males, they're raised by females. So where do they learn this toxic behavior? And that is a question we need to answer. We say, oh, they blame black men for every single problem in the world. And y'all have to never talk about white supremacy? Black people uphold white supremacy on a daily basis. Anybody that talks smack, anybody that talks down on a black woman is upholding white supremacy in my eyes. Anybody that talks down on a black man is upholding white supremacy in my eyes too. We gotta support each other, yo. Stop tearing each other down. It's ridiculous. That's why so many problems in the black community. We are not each other's enemies. It's all, oh, niggas ain't shit. Oh, females ain't shit. That shit gotta stop, man. We gotta find some type of common ground. We both ain't shit. We both have a lot of things we need to work on together. It's a king and queen mentality. You gotta really embrace that. So in terms of this whole tap, man, we're just trying to help the black community. That's all. We're trying to help black economics. We're trying to be self-sufficient. We're trying to get blacks not to be dependent on a system which was never made for us in the first place. Like I said earlier, racism is never going to go away. The white man's not going to hold a press conference and say, oh, well, you're upset that we've been oppressing you for hundreds of years and we're going to stop. No, it's never going to happen. We got to have some type of independence, some type of self-sufficiency, some type of knowledge of self. Go against a groupthink, man. Rise up. Vibrate higher. We're very low vibrational people. We got to go beyond that. Especially like with so many deterrents against us, especially like briefly I'll touch on like, you know, what a healthy living. Like black people, yo, like 1 out of 3 black people have hypertension. That's the highest rate in the world. Over 2.2 million African Americans have diabetes. Like 70% of adults between the age of 20 and 75 of black adults are overweight. Ain't no white supremacy forcing you to eat this fat food. Ain't no white supremacy telling you not to exercise. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't no white supremacy telling you not to eat fruits and vegetables. In the black community, we talk about, oh, you gotta eat better. Miss me with that shit. I'm gonna die one day. No. We die so young. People in the black community die so young, so often. We're like, oh, Jesus took them from. No. They could have been here. No, they've ate healthier, more conscious, and we didn't support that behavior. No, they could have been here. We need more accountability, man. That's what HOTEP is, accountability. And I know, again, it's probably cognitive dissonance because we're so used to blaming the white men for all our problems. But they're not the issue for all our problems. We can control stuff. Yeah, it's just fucked up in the black community. Yeah, the white man has definitely fucking put concrete on the hood and letting that shit sink the fuck in. However, you can break upon that. Don't be held back. Don't be a victim. Don't be oppressed. That's what HOTEP really is, man. We're just trying to have a conscious awakening. And it's going to take tough love at times. But in the day, we want the betterment for black people. That's all. That's why we call y'all nignogs and stuff like that. Joking around, for real. Don't be a nignog. Don't fall into that behavior. Don't be a low vibrational being. Vibe high. Shout out to Ali. Vibe high. Stay woke. Stay woke. And that's y'all favorite line. So, this brings me to my next segment. All right, so talking about HOTEP in terms of, you know, being a free thinker, you know, thinking outside the box. It seems in the black community, many times, like, we have this, like, attitude and belief that, like, because we're all black, that, like, we all have to think the same. Like, it seems, like, too often that, like, whenever someone has a differing view or opinion that goes against the groupthink of the black community, like, we're so quick to call them Uncle Tom and Coon. It's like, no, like, you can have a differing view or opinion. Like, we don't all have to think the same because we're black. Like, I understand that, yes, we have, you know, some shared history, obviously shared history, shared culture and things, but at the same time, you can still identify with other things. It's like, it's such a closed-minded way of thinking. It's like, we attack and belittle anyone that has a different opinion or view. And, you know, especially we see now, you know, especially with this whole political season and stuff like that, you know, with Donald Trump being president, it's like, black people understand, like, we, just because we're black, we all don't have to be Democrats. Like, it is possible. You could be a Republican without being, like, an Uncle Tom or Coon. You could be a Republican and still have, like, be a Pan-African and have, like, the best interest for the black community. Like, I think that's what, like, really has messed black people up, is this notion that, like, being a Democrat and liberal is because we all have to be because we're black. And it's like, no. And, like, yo, blacks have been voting Democrats for, like, you know what I mean, like, for all these years and stuff, and we still have all these problems in our community, and nothing really changing. It's like, Now, I'm not saying voting Republican is going to change anything either. All I'm saying is that, like, we need a more open mind. Like, we need to understand that, like, yo, we can disagree at times. You know, especially we saw this recently with the whole, with Donald Trump, like I said. It seems like anybody that associates with Donald Trump, you know, Donald Trump's like radioactive at this point. Anybody that has association with him, you're Uncle Tom Coon, what are you doing? Like we saw, you know, when Donald Trump got elected president here, you know, he met with several high-profile black people. He met with Jim Brown, he met with, like, Steve Harvey, and he met with, like, Ray Lewis, right? And, you know, people, of course, like, were so angry. Look what they're doing. We don't like them. Like, shut up. Like, the fact that, like, Jim Brown, right, that's really got me. Jim Brown, right, who has devoted his whole entire adult life to helping and uplifting and trying to figure out ways to help the black community, right, meets with President Trump to try to figure out ways to help the black community, And y'all niggas got the nerve to call Jim Brown a coon because he met with the president. Y'all call Jim Brown a coon. I'm, come on, man. Come on, bro. Jim Brown done stood with Muhammad Ali, with Bill Russell, with Kareem, like, doing the civil rights movement and stuff. Like, he's been on the front lines consistently. And because he met with the president, Jim Brown's a coon? Get the fuck out of here, man. Jim Brown has done more in his life than any you will ever even imagine in your life ever doing for the black community. Shut the fuck up with that, please. And that's out of respect. Don't ever disrespect Jim Brown's name. You better put some respect on his name, for real. Come on, man. It's disappointing. It's like, yeah, some people, like, it's like, black, we complain so much, like, oh, we're oppressed, we need help, blah, blah. Okay, the president gets black people to meet with them to try to figure out ways to help the black community. Oh, no, we don't want your help. Oh, no, we're going to be oppressed, it's okay. Come on, man. Or like Ray Lewis and Steve Harvey, right? Met with Jim, the president, to try to help figure out ways to help the black community. Especially Steve Harvey. And it's funny because, like, he got so much criticism and stuff like that. Like, oh, you're a coon, nigga, meeting with Donald Trump, blah, blah. Well, like, hey, Nick Noggs, y'all man's Barack Obama, he set the meeting up. That was the Obama administration that set the meeting up with Steve Harvey and Donald Trump. So call your man Obama a coon. How about that? But you're not. So shut the fuck up. It's like, yo, like, stop doing that. Stop being so, like, I swear at times, black people have the emotional level in the community of like, a 12-year-old middle school girl. Like, we're so petty, we think, like, oh, I'm blocking you. Like, as if that's doing something. Oh, you're canceled. Shut up. You still have the same exact problems whether you cancel someone or not. They're still doing their job. They're still getting paid. You ain't stopping nothing. Stop being so close-minded. Like, example, we saw, like, Ben Carson, right, who head of, housing development, right? And, you know, I understand that, like, yeah, Ben Carson, you know, historically definitely has had very conservative views, right? Definitely has many views that go against the groupthink of the black community. And I understand and get completely why people could call Ben Carson a coon, Uncle Tom. I get it, okay? I see it, right? At the same time, it's like the hypocritical aspect to it is that because of the selective anger we have, like, when like, Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell had cabinet roles in George Bush's, you know, presidency, like, we were cool with that. We revered them. We celebrated them. Oh, that's what's up. Black people position of power, right? There were black people in a Republican cabinet. Right, but we were cool with that. But because Ben Carson associated with Donald Trump, but a Republican, suddenly he's, oh, it's a problem, you're on Colin Coon. Ah, that's selective anger, yo. You gotta pick and choose. That's all I'm saying, yo. We gotta be more alert and understand, like, okay, yes, there, we may not always agree with each other, but we need to at least find some type of respect and some type of common ground. That's the only way we'll actually get true progress within the black community. Because, like, again, like, all the true revolutionaries and stuff like that, they didn't think the same, right? They didn't always. Like, Marx and Garvey didn't think the same. Elijah Muhammad didn't think the same. Rosa Parks didn't think the same. Malcolm X didn't think the same. Martin Luther King didn't think the same. I'm sure Harry Tubman didn't think the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, like, you're going to have to think differently at times. And, like, a lot of times, like, we can realize in the black community, our group think, what we think, our knowledge is not even our own knowledge and stuff. It's what we're being told from the TV, the media, from rap, from music, everything. You know, it's not even our own thoughts. So we criticize people for thinking, oh, look at them, I'm thinking the same, they're trying to be different. Come on, man. Have an open mindset. That's all I'm saying, man. Have an open mindset. Don't limit your connections. Facts. It's all about connections, yo. Stay connected. Never limit yourself. So this brings me to the conclusion of tonight. Like, review for the show. So understand, 2017 has been a very wild and crazy year. Don't let all your emotions and energy get caught up with the media spilling to you, okay? Donald Trump is president. I understand that we're angry and pissed off. He's not going anywhere. So you can either give all your energy to him or you can focus on yourself. You choose. Never bet against Tom Brady the GOAT. Never do it. All right? I know the culture is supposed to come through and put on for us, but it didn't, as usual. Don't get all emotionally tied up with that, yo. Precious, your emotion is precious, man. Like, for real, like, save your emotion and your energy. That's a big thing, all right? There's a lot of energy vampires out there. Got to be conscious of who you're and send your energy to all the time. Black people, you're not oppressed. Yes, we have some hardships in our country, but you're not oppressed. We got to stop looking for white validation, all right? That's one of the biggest aspects of black people hold us back, is that we're constantly looking for white validation, for white acceptance. And because there's a lack of that in this country at certain times, we perceive things to be, oh, we're oppressed and it's racism. But no, because if you weren't so worried about that, you wouldn't even have that mindset. I guarantee it. So just stop being so pressed for acceptance all the time, man. Worry about yourself. All right, for real. Hotep, man, we just trying to peace, love, and happiness. We trying to build self-accountability, self-sufficiency, help the black community. That's all. We only want to help the black community. Everybody is in the black community, whether you are black, whether you a gay or a woman, you're a black man. Like, we're all a black community together, yo. So we got to build each other up. That's all. Stop all the misconceptions. Use that name, that term so negatively. It's not. All right, stop that. It's disrespectful to our ancestors. And remember as well, yo, we can all think differently in the black community. We can have different mindset. It is possible. Don't limit your connections like that, yo. Just realize who you're following, who you're giving your energy to. Again, because a lot of people that you think is your enemy is not your enemy. The people that you think are your friends are not really your friends. Not really allies. That's all. Keep an open mindset to that. But yeah, appreciate y'all listening in. Remember, stay woke, stay hip, stay connected.